If you have your Bible, go and grab it and turn to Obadiah. Obadiah, that's in the Old Testament. It's probably about a little over halfway through your Bible. You're going to get to Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Those are the big books. And then it goes a lot of shorter books. Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. And we're going to look at just a couple of verses in Obadiah. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you in God's word and remind us that our God is good and he is sovereign. So we're going to look at Obadiah tonight, just the first four verses, Obadiah, verses 1 to 4. And as you are turning to Obadiah, I want to ask you a question. Where are you finding your security tonight? What are you turning to? Who are you turning to for your security? So I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we think about nation after nation after nation who has found security in economics, in military power, in intelligence, and yet time and time again, all of those fail. And we see that again as we come to the book of Obadiah. This is written by a prophet named Obadiah. He is writing to the nation of Edom. And as he's writing, it is after the fall of Judah. The northern part of Israel has broken off, and they have fallen years prior, and now the southern part has fallen, named Judah. And as Edom, this other nation, is looking on and seeing the utter devastation to Judah, they begin to trust and rest in something other than God. And they begin to mock Judah. And so with that, let me go ahead and read our passage very briefly. The vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up. Let us rise against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground?" Though you soar aloft like the eagle, though your nest is set among the stars, from there, I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Edom is known for descending from Esau, who is the half-brother of Jacob. Jacob's descendants come down through the line of Israel, which Jacob's name is changed to Israel, and then his descendants come down. And so this nation of Edom is the half-brother to the nation of Israel. And as Babylon has come in and brought destruction upon Judah, as much half-brothers or older brothers or younger brothers might do, they begin to gloat and glory in the fact that their other has been demolished while they are still alive. And yet, very briefly in these few verses, we read and we see that God is going to bring destruction upon them as well. And so the point tonight that I think we're going to see in these few verses is that pride comes before fall. That's a proverb, isn't it? Pride comes before fall. So our response is that we should fall before the king. If pride comes and then fall, our response should be we should just fall down before the king. So let's look at our pride to begin with. Look at these verses here. A report has come in verse 1. Verse 2, God is speaking how he's going to make them small among the nations. They're going to be utterly despised. Well, why? Well, we see why in verse 3. God says, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Why is God bringing destruction? It's because Edom thought that they were better than Judah. Why? Well, notice what he says. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling. You see, as the Babylonians were coming across the Middle East and then coming down into the nation of Judah and destroyed the nation of Judah, Edom was just across the Jordan River and a little bit south in a very mountainous area. And so it's very easy for them to say, this destruction will never come to us. It's hard to get to us. We live up in the mountains. We live in the caves in the mountains. Babylon will never find us. No one knows these backcountry roads like we do. And so they began to swell up in pride because they were resting in their position geographically. And yet, less than 30 years later, they are removed by the very nation they thought they were protected from. I wonder how many times we find positions in our lives and we think that we're okay because I have this job or I have this house or I have this situation or I have this financial state or whatever it is we are finding our position and our security in. And we begin to walk in that. And it's as if the Lord is saying, time out for a second. I can take that away as quickly as I gave it to you. And that's what we see. We see, secondly, our punishment. Edom's punishment is that, look at verse 1 and verse 2 again. At the end of verse 1, he says, rise up. God says, rise up, let us rise up against her for battle. And in verse 2, God promises what he's going to do. He's going to make them small. Here they are thinking that they are great, that they can stand up to the big Babylonians because they know how to hide and they know how to protect themselves. They actually would even take the Judahites as they were fleeing from Babylon. They would arrest them and turn them back over to Babylon as a way of saying, we're not you. And in the midst of that, God says, oh, you think you're so big? I'm going to make you small. I'm going to bring you down, and you're going to be utterly despised. How true is that in life? When we begin to walk arrogantly, when we begin to think we've got everything figured out, how often our destruction and our fall come very soon after. And yet, I think that that's actually a grace of the Lord. Because although we don't see it for Edom, we see it for ourselves, that we do have a path. And the path is this. Peter tells us that we ought to be a people that humble ourselves before the Lord. That pride comes before fall, but for those of us who trust in Christ, our response is to actually humble ourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt us. And so what do we do with our pride? What do we do when we find ourselves just like Edom? We take it into our own hands and lower ourselves before the Lord, and we plead with Him for His hand of grace to help humble our hearts. And that's why we gather to pray. You know what prayer is? Prayer feels the most ineffective, inefficient, waste of time at times. It feels very much like, why am I spending so much time doing nothing but talking to God who I cannot see? And yet, it is the most utterly dependent thing that we can do. The most humbling thing that we can do is to come before the God of the universe and say, I've got nothing. I need you to do everything. And so instead of going to do something, I'm just going to pause and plead that you do something. And so, church, that's why we gather tonight. And that's for us the path out of acting like Edom. It's just gather and to pray together.